Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm so excited, so happy that you came to church today. So thankful that you came here. God's got a plan for us. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, my wife was talking about continuing. Of course, we talk about that a lot. John 8:31, 32 says, if you continue in my word. You know, and I got to thinking, just as she was saying that, this came to me, and it blesses me, so I'll share it with you. But does anyone remember when you were probably, if you were my age, around my age, and maybe a little bit younger, there was something, it was very, I don't even know if they still do them on TV, they probably do, but we had sitcoms, right? And every once in a while, they'd have a real special one they couldn't finish in one sitting, right? And what would they do? They would have at the end of the show, they would have to be continued. Now, if you're in my generation or thereabouts, one thing that you'll remember is that, or one thing you'll be aware of is the fact that you didn't get to just, what do they call that, where you get to binge watch, that you actually had to, you had to wait for an entire week to watch the rest of the show to find out what was to be continued. Well, you know, the same thing is with the things of God. If, as you know, God has endeavored that we would continue. You know, that we would have episode after episode after episode. And when I say episode, I don't mean crazy episodes. You know, like some people have episodes. They're like, oh, you know, God bless them. They had an episode. But they, you know, we have a new thing in life, new things that we can expect as we come to the new year. There's great things that we can expect. But if you don't come back, and what I mean is not to church necessarily, but to God, if you don't come back, it can't be continued. So continuing is something you have to come back for. And so to continue in the plan of God, you have to keep coming back to God. You know, sometimes, and I've seen this a lot as a pastor, I've seen it a lot as a Christian, but there'll be times where people, you know, they're going through their life and maybe they started off on a good foot. Maybe they started off in the right place and they started and then they kind of get distracted and go, they didn't continue. Yeah. And if they didn't continue, God ain't going to force them. Right. Praise the Lord. But we can, you know, certainly we pray for people like that. But the reason that I bring that up is because of those things. If we're going to continue, we have to decide we're going to continue. Amen. And I'm so thankful that my wife continues with me. Amen. Despite me, you know, sometimes I, you know, find out things about myself that, or I realize things about the other day. I found myself apologizing to my wife about something, you know, we had the holidays and all those things and, you know, dealing with all kinds of different stuff. And sometimes I don't act right. I mean, it happens, if you can believe that. And I realized that and this actually hurt my feelings because what I had realized, and it wasn't because she said something, but what I had realized is some things that I had done, and they weren't directed at her, but they were just around her, and they caused her stress. And that stress, it bothered me that I did that. It bothered me that I realized that. Amen. When I realized that, amen. And so I apologized through text message, like any good husband would. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a reason for that, but it was all good that she accepted it. Praise the Lord. And so we're good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, today's message, I'm really excited about it. It is specifically for you. So if you're here, you know, I believe that the Lord has this for you. But tonight's message is called Redeeming Qualities. And another way that we can look at this, you know, we talk about redeeming qualities in a person. You know, it's a redeeming quality that maybe the person isn't perfect, but they have certain qualities about them that redeem them. Amen. I like to think that my stunning good looks helps redeem, is a redeeming quality when it's with my wife. Because even when I act like a jerk or something, you know, she can at least, that's a joke, of course. Praise the Lord. But, you know, there's redeeming qualities. But really what this is about is not redeeming qualities in the sense that we normally think about them, but it's about positioning ourselves to receive from God. How many know that you can be positioned in such a way that you don't receive from God? You can be in a church and not receive from God. I said you can be in a church and not receive from God. Just, you know, I think Joyce Meyer said this once and I loved it. Maybe many others have said it too, but they said just because, you know, just sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car, right? And the same way, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. And so if we're, and it doesn't make you in God's favor, amen? There's some people that think just because they showed up, and it's good that you showed up if you showed up, but they think just because they showed up that they're in God's favor, but God doesn't just want you to show up. You know, it's kind of like this in the holidays, we see this, and you know, it's always, holidays gives me lots of fodder to preach with, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And how many know when you've had a lot of holiday? You know what I mean? You've had lots of family stuff and friends stuff. You've had lots of holiday, and then you get around somebody. And, you know, somebody can be present but really annoyed, and you know that. Yeah. Somebody can be there, but they're not really, you know, but you recognize that something's off. Yeah. And that's not typically enjoyable, is it? I have certain actions that my wife likes to point, like, and not in a bad way, but she'll point out, she knows when I'm going down a certain road in my mind because of the way that I'm acting. Amen? Yeah. These are some of my redeeming qualities. Praise the Lord. It helps her to know what's going on. And sometimes she can wrangle me back and reel me back in, you know, and bring me back into that place of balance. But it's not enjoyable to her when she starts seeing that happen. Yeah. And the same thing is with God. It's not enjoyable to God if we just show up to church and we're just like, you know, we made it to church. Yeah. But what does that mean? What does it mean when we make it to church? Do we make it to church with an intent that we're going to receive what God has from us? And I don't mean just because some man is preaching or some woman is preaching, but I mean because we've come to connect with God's plan. Because we've come to connect with what God wants to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so that's why we come to church. That's why we prepare ourselves when we worship and we sing songs so we put our hearts towards Him and so we can receive from Him and He wants to speak to us. How many know that God wants to speak to you? Do you know God wants to speak to you in such a way that you will actually know that it's Him speaking to you? God loves you that much that He wants to pour into you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Do you know what's interesting about the way a lot of people think about God, and I always did as well? They think to have a relationship with God, somehow it's got to look so vastly different than what a relationship does with a person. But really, God wants us to have the most intense relationship with Him, the most enjoyable relationship with Him. And I love this because as I go further with God, it makes life a lot easier to live. It's that relationship that will bless us. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we're going to position ourselves to receive from Him. I think this is a great place to jump off for the new year. Amen. Let's spend this year positioning ourselves in all things, in all areas of life to receive from God. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Praise God. I believe this is going to be a help to you. It certainly has been a help to me. And I think it's going to continue to be a help to me as well. Amen. So as I've heard other people say, if you don't mind, I'm just going to preach to myself tonight. Amen. And you're welcome to listen in if you want. Amen. Okay, and so the word says here, Ephesians 5, we're looking at verse 15 through 17. And of course, we have it up here as well. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Be careful how you walk. Take heed, think about how you walk. Amen? That's an important instruction, but that instruction is very purposeful. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. So what we see here in this scripture, there's at least two ways you can walk. You can walk in a wise way, or you can walk in an unwise way. I want to choose the wise way. And how many know that the wise way isn't always your way? The wise way is very rarely your way. And when I say your, I'm speaking to myself too. So I told you I was preaching to myself here tonight. So if I say your, I'm also speaking to me, you know, remember that. Glory to God. But that my way is not always the wise way. God's way is the wise way. That's the way that helps us. Amen. Amen. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, where it says making the most of your time, and some translations actually say here, redeeming the time. Yeah. Very important phrase, redeeming the time. Now, some people look at this and they say, you know, well, the Lord redeems the time, but that's not what this is saying. This is instruction to us to make the most of the time. And that's what redeeming the time is. We need to make the most of the time because the days are evil. In other words, not every opportunity is, or not every moment is going to be an opportunity for good. Not every moment of your day is going to be an opportunity of blessing. Not every day is going to be an opportunity of blessing. Not every week is going to be an opportunity of blessing because the days are evil. There are things that come against us in our days that you will sometimes wake up with the best ideas, the best plans, and the day ends and you're like, nah, it didn't happen that way. There's opposition. There are things that come against us. There are things that are trying to stop us. There are things that are trying to get us to focus in the wrong place. There are all these things that come at us. But the Bible tells us to be careful how we walk. Consider how we walk. We want to walk wisely. In other words, don't waste time when you have opportunity to do something good. Don't waste an opportunity to do what God has called you to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so if we're going to position ourselves to receive from God, one of the ways that we're going to be able to position ourselves to receive from God is to make the most of the time that we have. You know, I've watched very many times over the years where people miss opportunity of blessing because they haven't positioned themselves right, because they don't walk wisely. They just go about their day and they almost kind of go nonchalant. You know, when I went, I used to go at my day kind of purposeful in the idea before I was a Christian, and kind of from the standpoint of that, I would just kind of go at the day, you know, and I would have a purpose that I would desire, but I didn't ever purpose myself to reach that purpose. And in doing, or not doing so, I was walking unwisely. You know, I just went it every day. Sometimes we can do that. You know, you get up, you wake up in the morning at a certain time. Many of us have a time that our alarm goes off, or we just wake up or whatever. And then we start our day generally probably the same way every day. And we do the similar things, you know. And so we kind of fall into these ruts of being. And, you know, as a Christian, you can fall into this rut of being as well. You just come to church, and that's what we do. And so you can get to the place where nobody even has to tell you to go to church anymore, because you just go to church. That's just what you do because you're a Christian, and this is what Christians do. We go to church, right? And we go to church on Sundays, and Sundays is the day you got to go to church after all, because that's the Lord's day, and that's, you know, the that's church day. Everybody knows that Sunday is church day. And then all of a sudden, somebody opens a goofy church on Saturday night and asks you to come, and you come to a church on a Saturday night, and it just throws your thinking all off. We're making the most of the time. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so, you know, there's ideas, but you can come to church, and even you can come to a Saturday night church, which is already odd. We've admitted to that, right? So it's already odd that you've come to a Saturday night church, but here you are, Saturday night, anyways, you're at church, and pretty soon a year goes by, 2 years go by. How many years have we been in Cory, Pennsylvania? Almost 5 years. And it can just become like, that's just what we do. It's Saturday night. We go to church. It's Saturday night. Amen? But we need to position ourselves to receive from God. God is not okay with people just coming on Saturday night just because they come. He's not okay with people just coming to church just because they come. He wants you to come right. He wants you to come with expectation. God wants you to know that when you come to church, when you are a Christian, you live this life for a reason. There's purpose to you living this life. You know, a lot of people on the outside, they don't understand why we do what we do. In fact, I often make this comment about our family, our families, meaning my wife's family and my family, that like, why do they, what goes through their mind? Do you ever try to figure out what other people are thinking about what you're doing? You know, and they're like, why do you do what you do? People don't understand why we would go to church on a Sunday or a Saturday or any other day for that matter. But, you know, why would you do these things? And, you know, I'll just put this before you. A lot of Christians don't know really why they do it either. It's just what we do. Amen? But see, there's a purpose to us to do things. When, you know, I often make this comment to my wife. I'm like, do they think that we just like, you know, that we just like go at it and we never have any proof to any of this? And we don't like, no, if people would sit down and talk with you, I could give proof that would undeniable proof, Praise the Lord. Scientific undeniable proof. Stuff that I didn't even come up with, you know, like stuff that I can't come up with, and stuff that's so deep I can't even repeat half of it. I'd have to point you to a video or point you to, you know, a writing or something like that. But why do we do what we do? We have to have a purpose in what we do. Do we, you know, and it's not that we come to God so we can receive from God in the sense that, oh, the only reason I want to have the only reason I even want to be a Christian is so I can get things from God. So I can get, you know, more money or a better house or a nice, you know, better spouse or whatever it is you want, you know, whatever it is you're after in life. We don't just come to God to get things. But there is this principle of coming to God to receive. Because God, that's exactly why God has us come to Him. He wants us to come to Him to receive from Him. Now, what we receive is not necessarily the thing. You know, maybe it's a thing, maybe it's not a thing. But we have to come with the expectation of receiving. Otherwise, why would we do this? Why would we waste a Saturday night? Why would we waste a Sunday morning? Sunday morning was traditionally for me a great time to recover from the Saturday night. And the Saturday night that I had before certainly wasn't a church service. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, there was it was a great time to recover, but it, that wasn't getting me anywhere in life, obviously. But when we come to church, we should come with expectation. When we come to God, we should come with expectation. When we open our Bible, we should open it with expectation. Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to receive what you want to download into me. Amen? Praise God. And so we don't want to walk as wise, but notice that the instruction in the, or as unwise, but notice that the instruction there is instruction to the individual. In other words, you determine whether or not you walk wise or unwise. You determine whether you make the most of the time or not. You know, one thing I've learned, I'm 45 years old now, and I still can't believe it. You know, a lot of times I wake up and I still think I'm 16 years old. I still feel like that. I've never really felt like I have perfected or even understand adulting very well. I still want to, you know, just, see, I told you I'm fun. I just want to have, I that's just a inside joke, praise the Lord, but I still want to play. I still want to, you know, I see Legos. I still get excited by Legos. Amen? I mean, I really do. That's not just something I'm saying. I legit, when I see a new, I sometimes, if I'm in a store, will go to the Lego aisle just to look at what Legos are there. And I even consider buying them for a moment anyways. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so, you know, that's still part of my life. And so I'm not, like, it's crazy to me that I'm here. If we don't pay attention, life is going to zip right by us. And it does. And anybody who's my age or anywhere around that, you know. Amen? You hear of people all the time, and they never expected to get there. But the choice is up to us. I want to bring this the scripture up, Habakkuk 2:1. Now, we've heard this a lot in our circles, and we hear it for many various reasons, but it's a really, I saw something in it, or was led to something in it, that kind of is just looking at it from a different angle. Amen. It says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. Well, what does that mean? This has given us the idea of, you know, like a castle or a fort, and a rampart, I believe, is some kind of ramming part. No, it's some kind of thing that you is some kind of fortified wall or something like that, I believe, is what a rampart is. And so it's something to do with a fort. But you see, I will stand at my guard post. And the idea is to be on the lookout. You know, a guard is not a good guard if they're not on the lookout. And so we see here, we see this, you know, he's saying this, of course, and this is a spiritual kind of transaction. He's talking about it from the standpoint of he's going to be watching to see what God is going to speak to him. And of course it says, and I will keep watch to see what he, speaking of God, will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Amen. And so this person is talking about positioning themselves in a place where they can hear from God. And that's the reason why I bring this up. You notice here's another example in scripture of where that the idea is that you have to decide that you're going to position yourself to hear from God. This is a person who wants to receive direction, wants to receive instruction from the Lord. And that's why he says, to see what he may reply when I'm reproved. Amen. God wants and desires to speak to us. He wants and desires to help us. In fact, that we're told of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And when we, upon salvation, the Holy Spirit is put on the inside of us. And that Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us and direct us. And I've found that the Holy Spirit is way more effective at life than I am. I mean, infinitely more effective. A lot better. Amen. Glory to God. And one of the ways that I've proven this out is because before I was a Christian, I was saved, and I had the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And so for what that means, the Spirit was there. But there's this idea that we understand through study of the Word that you can't, it's not enough to just have the Spirit there, but you have to learn how to interact with the Spirit. You have to learn to hear from him and to yield to him, because that's exactly, because the Holy Spirit isn't going to, or God isn't going to force himself on anyone. He's not just going to force you to do something. You know, God isn't like a marionette up there with the strings, you know, making us do this and making us do that. In fact, we hear that a lot, and it's foolish religious speak when people say things like, well, you know, there was an accident, and so God just must have wanted that person home to be with them. That's not truth. It's just not the Word. You know, see, a lot of things happen, and people blame God for the bad things that happen. But we have to remember that the Bible is a book of instruction. A book of instruction is, it means it's going to tell you to do something to help you to get to a desired point. Amen? If the Bible is a book of instruction, then to not follow the instruction and have an opposite effect of what the instruction told you you could have could not be God's will, but must be a consequence from not following the instruction. Why do you give somebody instructions? Have you ever had somebody do something in your home? Maybe you hired somebody to do something. And you say, well, you know what? I want my bushes trimmed this specific way. I want them to be round, okay? And then you come back hours later, and or the trimmer, the person who was the landscaper, whatever, they came to you hours later and said, okay, I finished the job. I would like to get paid now. And so you, okay, well, let me look at the job. And you go out there, and all the bushes that were supposed to be round are square. Yeah. They're not going to get paid. Yeah. Unless you're a fool, you wouldn't pay them. You'd be like, well, I'll pay you. I want to pay you because that's right and good. But only after you do the job correctly. Yeah. Well, God, why do we think God is any different? He gives us a book of instruction. People don't follow the instruction. Bad things happen. And then we're like, well, God must have wanted this. You know why people do that? People do that because it's easier to take their mistakes and put them off on some divine idea or some divine purpose than it is to own up to something that you've done yourself. But when I look back at my old life, my former life, every decision I made was bad. Every decision, and I tried really hard to make good decisions. I tried really hard to be right about the things that I did. I tried really hard to be a good guy. And I kept failing at it and failing at it and failing at it. And I didn't fail because God was working against me. He just wanted me to learn some kind of crazy lesson. No, I failed at it because the instruction I had was from my own mind and not the mind of God. But as I learned to tap into the mind of God, one, through the Word of God, two, from hearing of the Word of God and sitting in a service and hearing somebody preach at me, glory to God, and then learning how to hear from God myself and spending time with God to the point where I can give a message that God has spoken to my heart to you and to speak to your hearts, praise the Lord. It's a process. And that process is something that anybody can do. Now, I'm not saying anybody can pastor because God does have anointings to do different jobs, but not anybody can do what you do either. Right. You know what I mean? And it's not, some people will be called to pastor. Some people will be called to be a prophet. Some people will be called to be an evangelist. Some people may be called to teach. Some people may be called just to be a help to people. Some people are just really good. My sister-in-law is phenomenal. I've never met anybody who is so good at taking care of people in some of the worst moments of their lives. Yeah. I mean, never met anybody. It's just like, it's amazing. There's just an, can just do it. you know, messes and stuff like that. Sometimes they happen when people are sick. It just doesn't bother. To me, I'm just like, ooh, put it away. Yeah. I think one day we had the dog our dog was in our bedroom and must not have been feeling well. Came out, some things came out. And Renee and I were like, oh, what are we going to do about this? Caleb, help. And Caleb came to the rescue, and certainly he did. And I don't know if he's good with it. I don't know if he was just being a good kid. I don't know what he was doing. But he went and got something to clean it up, and he did. And we were very thankful. Because, you know, whenever something like that happens, even when the kids were younger and they get sick or something, you know, I love it when they're a little bit older and you just be like, just go take care of yourself. You know, but when they were younger and they were sick or something, it was like, ugh. I remember times like waking up in the middle of the night and Renee's like, there's puke everywhere. And I'm just like, oh my God. And I'm laying there. I'm trying to lay real quiet. Like maybe if I don't move, she'll forget I'm even in there. And you know, and I'll even hear help. And I'm just like, oh, because I didn't know what to do. I mean, I can't even think, like my mind gets so stressed in moments like that. I don't even know how to get that up and then to do with whatever with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So people can be anointed to do different things is what I'm saying. You know, yours might be to be clean up puke. Mine might be to preach. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But, you know, there's a lot. We understand that people are able to do different things, and it's good that they do it. I don't know how I got on that. But it's important to position ourselves to make the most of the time, and also to recognize our giftings and where we can be used better. You know, some people, you know, there's some people that, you know, they might like to cook. They might like to cook, but they just aren't going to bless anybody by doing so. You know, there's some people that might like to paint, but they just aren't going to bless anybody by doing so. There's some people that might like to sing. We like to sing. We love to sing. Our life, half of our life is done in song. But you notice we don't lead the worship. And that isn't because we're so busy doing other things. Praise the Lord. It's because we might like to sing, but you wouldn't like to hear us sing. You know, I always say this all the time. You know, when I'm by myself, I sound just like Elvis. I'm convinced of that, but praise the Lord. But to know where we're supposed to be and to learn where we're supposed to be and position in ourselves in that place to receive. Amen? You know, that's why so much, you'll notice so much in life, and I'm sure you've had it happen if you've been in church more than once, that there's some kind of attack that will come to try to stop you from doing this. They'll stop you from, you'll be an attack and you don't feel like reading your Bible. They'll be an attack and if you don't feel like praying to God, you'll be an attack and you don't want to hear somebody encourage you again, according to the word. You don't want somebody to give you another scripture. You don't want somebody to say, hey, God loves you and wants to take care of you. You know, those attacks come because the devil knows that if he can separate you from your help, that you will get into a place where you'll be helpless. And not helpless because God has left you, but helpless because you've moved out from under his covering. Yeah. You know, one of the hard lessons that we've learned, one of the things that we've had, my wife and I have talked about, you know, we've raised kids now from baby to adult. And the hardest, by far, the hardest part of child rearing in our minds is from the place of transitioning from late teen to an adult. And the reason is because this is the stage where everything that you've put into them is going to be revealed. Everything that you've put into them is going to start coming out. And even though you know that you've done it with all that you knew to do and that you've put everything into them that you could, there's this fear that settles on you that is a little bit like, well, maybe I didn't do good enough. Yeah. Maybe I didn't put enough of the right things in them. But you know, the truth of the matter is, and this is why it makes it hard on parents, is because every child that transitions into adulthood has to find their legs. They have to find the, it's like when they're learning to ride a bike and you release them for the first time, only it's a bigger bike, it's a bigger hill, and it's a longer release. And so it's such a taxing thing on a parent and can be a stressful thing on the parent. But you know, if you've put those good things in your children, those are the things that call to them when they are out of the reach. When you can't hold on to the seat anymore, you can't catch them if they start wobbling. You know, it's those things that you put into them that will call to them. And those are precisely the things that were put into me that called to me when I was wrapped around a toilet that I wouldn't use, or when I was, wouldn't use today, when I was, messed up in whatever I was on, whatever drug I was taking, or whatever alcohol, or whatever thing I was doing, it didn't matter. When I was in that place, it was those things that called to me, those things that drew me back, even when it looked like, when I was sitting there with a gun in my mouth, it was those kinds of things that called me back. You know, see, in the Lord, but we still know there was still a point where I had to get to a place where I had to recognize, and I did recognize, that it's going to be what I choose. Am I going to position myself in a place of getting help, or am I still going to refuse it? And I'm going to tell you, folks, there was years where I refused. There was years where I knew, but refused, because I wanted what I wanted. I wanted to do things the way I did wanted to do them. Now, you might be sitting there tonight saying, well, none of us are in that position now because none of us are living that type of life. Yes, but there's still things that you can receive in life. There's still things, no matter where you're at, no matter where you've come from, the place where you are now, there's a place God still wants to take you. There's levels He wants to get you in. There's things He wants you to see. You know, one of the reasons I love to travel is because when you travel, you see things that you've never seen before. And, you know, it's like every mountain is different. Every lake is different. Every waterfall falls a different way. And I want to see every single one of them. Amen? But do you know that God put all those things there to stir our hearts, to get us to think about these things and be like, there's more to this than just where we're at. And what does that do for us? That encourages us to position ourselves in such a way that we can hear and see those things. That God has things for you. There's things, the Bible says that eye has not seen or ear heard the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. In other words, you could not fathom what God has prepared for you. And so as you sit here tonight, I want to put that before you to think about this, to dwell on this, to meditate this, to get yourself to desire to be in the position that you can start to find out those things that God has prepared for you that you can't see, that you can't think about. You know, in Ephesians 3:20, it tells us that he can do exceedingly abundantly above, not just all that we can ask, but all that we can think. Exceedingly, abundantly above what we can think. That's the God we serve. That God wants us to receive from Him. But the way of reception is always going to be the same. You have to determine in your heart that you want to be in a position to receive. And that position to receive is not the place that you're going to decide. It's not the place that you're going to determine. It's not the location that you want. It's not your idea of the perfect temperature. It's not going to be always comfortable on you. And sometimes, in fact, all the time, I'll say, or most of the time, or almost all of the time, the places that God has for us are a bit difficult on our flesh. You know why they're a bit difficult on our flesh? Because our flesh, especially if you're a little bit into this for a little while, any more than probably 3 months old, if you've been into this for a little while, you've started formulating the way you want things to be. Yeah. We know we have young babies in our midst, praise the Lord. What do young babies want? What they want. Yeah. They don't necessarily care that there's things that the parents need. They don't care that you haven't eaten yet. Right? My dog is like that too. Cassie is so much like that. I'll be making food or getting ready or whatever to get breakfast, getting things out. And she's off laying on the couch. Not the one couch, but the other couch. Because she's not allowed. She's only allowed on one couch. But she's off laying on that couch or on the floor or something like that. And I'm preparing the food and I'm doing my thing. And I sit down with my nice hot meal. Just sit down and I go to, and she comes up barking at me. Why? She wants to go outside. She determined that that's the time she wants to go outside. Praise the Lord. When Ezra was younger, when she was real little, like just could toddle and could talk a little, you know, every morning, you know, I'd get up and I'd go into the bathroom to do my morning business. And I'd have a knock on the door. Daddy, I got to go pee. Every day. Every day. I'm like, you didn't have to go 10 minutes ago? Because I don't just jump out of bed and go into the bathroom and do my deal, man. I take some time in the morning, you know what I mean? I wake up and I just think about things and I lay there and I might sit up and lay back down. You understand how it is. I know this is a little bit more than you wanted to know, but it's this, which is the way it is. You know what I'm saying? And then it would come to this place, and because my wife went to work and I went to work too, we just had different, you know, schedules a little bit. And so I was, my schedule has always been later morning, usually later night. But regardless, it would happen. And one day I was like, I just got tired of it. And I said, Ezra, you're just going to have to wait because I'm doing what I got to do. Daddy, I really got, like, listen. And it just didn't, she was a little girl. And of course she doesn't do that anymore. But the point of the matter is that then I was upset because she couldn't wait. And, you know, but the whole idea, the thing that I'm trying to get to is this idea of being positioned. See, nothing, you just got to be careful how close you get to me, because nothing cannot be preached about. Amen? There's always something that we can preach about. Praise the Lord. But we draw from our own lives, but we draw these things because God is the same way. We shouldn't be babies in the faith. At some point, we need to grow to a place where we're okay with positioning ourselves in a place that's a little less than comfortable. For God's sakes, we do it all the time. We do it all the time. Most people don't love to go to work. They would rather go to vacation. Most people don't, they don't want to do the hard manual. You know, who wants to change a tire when the tire blows or something like that? But it's something sometimes you just got to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Position ourselves. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke 10, positioning ourselves to receive from God. God has prepared wonderful things for us, but we must position ourselves in such a way that we can receive from them. Now, we're going to look at one of the great examples of this right here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he, meaning Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Sounds like a good thing to do, right? I mean, you got the Son of God traveling village to village, and you have enough sense to welcome him into your house, right? That's what Martha did. That was a good thing, right? It's kind of like coming to church, recognizing that you need to be somewhere, recognizing that this is a good thing to do, right? We've all done that. We hit the nail on the head the first day of the year. Yeah. Glory to God. We're off to a darn good start, I'm just telling you, folks. Amen. Now, so she welcomed him into their home, and she had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. So evidently some time had come because, you know, now there's people sitting around, Jesus is talking, and Mary is sitting there listening to the Lord. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him, meaning Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. You see, it's a perfect thing. You're doing everything that you need to do. You're doing everything right, but things aren't working out just the way that you want them. Somebody else isn't doing what they should do. And of course, then your focus goes on to what they should do. And when your focus goes on to what they should do, you know what happens when your focus goes on what someone else is doing? It goes off from what you're doing. Yeah, that's right. So whenever you're thinking about what someone else is not doing, you're also not thinking what you should be doing. Amen? And so this is a distraction. This happens a lot in churches, by the way, in case you don't know. If you've been in a church for more than 15 minutes, you probably have learned this, but this is always the case. There is always somebody who's going, one time we had somebody telling us about all they did in the church, and we snickered to ourselves because we understand. You know, this doesn't happen just because we willed it to. If you showed up here tonight, congratulations for showing up. But somebody had to prepare it. Somebody had to prepare the space. Somebody had to pay for it. Somebody had to go out and seek it in the first place. Somebody had to make it happen. Somebody had to go to the town and talk to the town and sit before boards and the tax boards and all these other things. Somebody else had to do it. Somebody else had to make connections. You understand? Praise the Lord. But the Lord answered and said to her, I like that it says, but the Lord. Because when you get the but, it's one of the Bible buts that I like to talk about. I haven't said that in a long time, but I like Bible buts because Bible buts point us to the right thing. And this just happens to be one of them. But the Lord said to her, answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Sometimes we say that. Sometimes I just like to make it, you know, when somebody's getting stressed out, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, the point of this story really brings us into a place of understanding. There was a time when Jesus was going to be there, and there was a time when he was not going to be. You know, the Lord shows up. He is with us all. But the opportunity to do for the Lord, to get into the things that God has for us, don't happen every minute. Every minute we have the choice to position ourselves to get to the place of receiving and to hearing and to be able to get that. But there's many people, many of God's people, who miss opportunity because they were so distracted by the things that didn't matter. They were distracted by the things that didn't change anything, that didn't move the bar much. And what happened was they missed their visitation from the Lord. Now God is with us and desires to work through us. But do you know that God also works in a natural world? And what I mean by that is he has designed the natural world to work in such a way. He is supernatural. He can move outside of that. But he's designed us to work within that natural world according to certain dictates. And if we do, then we can find blessing. But if we don't, we find sin. And that's exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. Praise the Lord. But positioning ourselves in the right place to receive, knowing that when we come together, you know, we have church here in Cory, Pennsylvania, once a week. Praise God. How we come then matters infinitely. Because it's not just a matter of showing up. Showing up is great, and we're thankful that you showed up. But showing up with expectation, not expectation of me. I hope you have more expectation than expectation of me. Because I'm a human, I'm going to fail you. There's going to be some place with some expectation that you'll have, and you'll look at me at some point and you'll say, you know what? He just didn't nail it. He just didn't hit it. Right. And you know something? The same thing goes with you. There's going to be times where I'm going to look out there and be like, where are they? There's going to be times where I'm like, they needed to hear this and they weren't there. Happens to pastors all the time. Just about every time you're not here. I'm just telling you the truth. Because you're thinking, you're preparing all these things, and there was your visitation. And sometimes people, and I'm not saying that there isn't reasons that you couldn't miss church, because obviously there are definitely reasons too. But when we understand that there's a visitation, we should do everything we could do to position ourselves in such a place to hear from him. Because the visitation isn't us. It isn't concocted by us. You know, the other day I was sitting in my back room, just like I do every morning. I was sitting there and I was reading the word and I was studying and I was doing things that I do all the time. And all of a sudden, specific direction. And I wasn't even feeling very spiritual that day, to tell you the truth. And I was feeling really carnal. And what I mean by that is, I just wanted to play games. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do, watch YouTube or something like that. The last thing I wanted to do was what I was doing. But I was kind of just fumbling through stuff, you know, and I wasn't feeling, and I think I had was groggy from the eating the night before kind of thing, you know. It was one of those type of deals. And here I was, just there, and God shows up in the room. And what I mean, he didn't just like keep here. There's Jesus, you know. got his little toe because, you know, he's real tall and real big and my room is just so big. But no, he shows up and he gives me and I hear these words and it's direction for the whole year. It's direction. It's help for the whole year. Gives me a goal to put out there and to shoot for. And you know, if you're target shooting anything, it's real good to have a target. I mean, that helps because there ain't nothing worse, you know. If you want to understand what I'm talking about, you go to where little kids are being taught how to shoot a bow and arrow. Yeah. Amen. You keep everybody behind a certain line, and you see you're going everywhere, every which way. Amen. Because they haven't learned that yet. They haven't learned to focus, but then they teach them to focus on the target, and they can get good at it. But the same thing is with us. It's good to have something to shoot for, isn't it? I wasn't expecting it. But see, if I didn't position myself in such a place, in such a way to hear from God ever, I'm not going to hear from Him. If I'm constantly focused on how big I want to make my life and how great I want to be and how many things I want to accomplish in life or how many things I want to have or whatever, I'm going to miss what God is trying to get to us. I can be distracted. Sometimes you can be distracted by serving. Sometimes you can be distracted by doing the work of the Lord because you're just doing the work of the Lord. You're doing the work of the Lord. You're doing the work of the Lord, but you're not spending any time with Him. Do you realize the most important thing you can do is have a relationship with God? How do you do that? You spend time. Just like if you want to have a relationship with a person, how do you do that? You can't do that just by thinking about yourself, you know, and just doing your own thing. No, you got to think about the person. You got to position yourself to be around them. And the same thing is with God. Are we going to come together? Are we going to come to this understanding where we need to position ourselves before the Lord so that He can speak to us? Do you want to know one of the simplest ways to start on the process of hearing from God? I'll give it to you tonight. It's one of the easiest things that you can possibly do. Because sometimes we talk about hearing from God and it seems so complicated. Yeah. The very first step of hearing from God is to simply desire it. Yeah. Simply desire it. If you've ever seen somebody that you've been attracted to, or maybe let's say you've ever gone on a date with someone you're attracted to, didn't it first start with desire? Didn't it first start with a thought that you maybe had in your head, or you looked at them and you were just like, ooh, I'd like to date them. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. There's something that's drawing you. It all started with that thought, that desire to want that. Yeah. If you will put it before the Lord and say, Lord, I desire intimacy with You. I desire time together with You. Yeah. Guess what God will do? He'll start laying out the tracks for you to get to that place. See, the natural, He has prepared a way for the natural to intervene with the supernatural. That's why we do the goofy things we do. That's why we come to church and raise our hands and look to heaven and say, Lord, You're so good to me. That's why we understand that every breath we draw from His very purpose, His design, and that we do so with His blessing. And if we do so with His blessing, then we should be able to continue do so with His blessing. Because God doesn't start something and not finish it. He hasn't started you and not finished you. But you have to determine, am I going to be the one to do it? Mary has chosen the good part. But many of us are Martha-ing. Amen? I wonder if Martha ever realized that her name would be used in verb form. Glory to God. I want to bring up a few scriptures just to show you and kind of solidify this. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and He delights in His way. The understanding here is not just a man or just a woman, but the steps of a righteous person. The right steps that we take are established of the Lord, and God delights in that way. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. What do you think that faith is? It's walking in the path that God has set before you. In walking the path that God set before you, certainly is not going to always make sense to you. In fact, it rarely makes sense to me. Not in the moment, but in time it does. But God delights His way. Psalm 90 in verse 12. It says here, So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Teach us. This is a prayer. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Realizing, you know, some people think, well, why do we only have a set number of days? Why is there only so much time to live? Because if you realize that you only have so much time to live, you're going to make the most of the ones that you have. Yeah. Or at least you should. You know, you think about all the time that we waste or all the times that people waste, especially as a kid. Kids waste so much time doing nothing. Well, why do they do that? Because they have no concept of, I mean, you know, a year might as well be eternity. Yeah. But as you know, as you grow, and why is that? Why as we grow older, does it seem like things speed up? They don't, you know, time stays constant. Yeah. It doesn't speed up. Why does it seem? Because the urgency within us grows stronger. When you get closer to the end, you start realizing more of the things that you didn't. You know, and so if we learn at a young age, if we teach our children at a young age, ask the Lord to help you number your days. Yeah. To realize that you've got a set number of days to accomplish the things that He has for you to accomplish. And you might think, well, we're going to heaven anyway, so why does it matter accomplishing things here? Because God made this life matter. I said, God made this life matter. So it's not just about heaven, but it is about this day, this time here. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was with a friend. I had to fly down to Nashville, Tennessee, and do a funeral down there for a friend and another friend who had passed. It was his wife. And my friend was telling me, we were reminiscing, we were getting, and she was too young. She died too young. And we were reminiscing, talking about the old days. It had been so many years since we had been together. But as we were talking, you know, he was telling me about the last few months of his life, of her life. And he was talking about how they just grew so close. And he's like, you know, we didn't fight anymore. Yeah. And you know why they didn't fight anymore? Because they knew they only had a limited amount of time. They knew that why would we waste, if we only have months, why would we waste 1 hour, 1 minute? Why would we waste that time fighting? And you know, it became easy. Here's an adult couple who obviously has two different wills, just like all of us do. But all of a sudden, they found the secret to not fighting. And you know what it was? It was making the most of the time. They were redeeming the time because the days were against them. The days were trying to rob from them. You know, and I bring that out not to get us all into a place of sorrow, but for us to realize that God has things for us, and that we have to consider the days. And it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy the time, because that's absolutely part of it. In fact, if you're not enjoying life, I'm telling you, that's not the life that God has for you. God has a life of joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit, God working on the inside of you, is joy. In fact, it's the second fruit. The first one is love. Who doesn't love love? But the second one is joy. Who doesn't like joy? If you don't like joy, you're goofy. I mean, everybody wants joy. They want happiness. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly what God wants from us. But why don't so many people, why so many people miss that? Because they've missed their opportunity. They miss the time with God. They miss the place where God wants to show them how to do that. God can help you number your days and make each day count. Even if you're doing nothing but work, even if you're doing nothing but menial tasks, God can make that day important. He can make that day mean something. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If we trust Him for it. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Redeeming the time. We're going to close here. James 1:7. Praise God. I think it's a good, like I said before, but I maintain it now that we're getting to the close here. It's a good way to jump into the new year, isn't it? Yeah. Let's make the most of 2022. Crazy that we're saying that. James 1:7 and verse 8, 7 and 8. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What the Bible calls being double-minded is one who professes one thing and does another. A Christian who lives for themselves is double-minded. Yeah. And the Bible says, let that man or woman not expect they would receive anything from the Lord. one who does one thing or says one thing and does the other. They profess to be a Christian. I'm God's, but I do this my way. I do this the way that I want to. And see, that is a paradox. It's something that just, it never comes together. It never meshes. It will never work out. Doing things our own way is a recipe for disaster. And the Bible says that we are unstable in all their ways. Why do Christians to the world so often appear unstable? I've done it myself. I'm guilty of it just as you are. And if you didn't know you are, you're guilty of it. But there's some moment where we slip away from what we know we've been taught, what we know the truth is, and we act opposite that. That's why people say all the time, they look at Christians and they say, why would I want to be a Christian? They're hypocrites. We're all hypocrites. Praise the Lord. Not all Christians, I mean all people. Amen. We're just trying to find a better way. But the Bible looks at that and says it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to say these things, to say you have a good God and then live the way that you do. Amen? You look just like the world. If you look like the world, then why would I want to be any different? Why would I want to give up Saturdays or Sundays or any other thing? Why would I want to give up any offering money or anything? Why would you want to do that? See, Christians, we can't continue to live the way we always lived and expect that we're going to be blessed. And if we're not blessed, we're not going to take anything to the world that they're going to want. See, we got to show the world who the Lord really is if we want the world to receive who the Lord really is. Amen? And so as we jump off here and we stop the message, as we move into the new year, let us think about these things. Keep these things before our hearts. Position ourselves to be ones who not only receive, you know, because what God has for us in the reception, you know, one of the things that's promised to believers is the unsaved. And what I mean is not as like slaves or something like that, but it's the promise to bring us fruit. That we do this, that we just don't do this, that we'll talk to people and there'll be people that will receive the Lord and they can walk in the same blessing and the same understanding. Folks, we've got to be fruit-minded. We've got to be not just to get more Christians. That's not what we're after. We need to connect more people to a loving God. We need to connect more people to a God who wants to be part of them, that wants to show them why he created them, because they all have purpose. Amen?